Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, November 1st, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, featuring true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more, available exclusively on Ford Lincoln Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit www.syncmyridepodcast.com. And by Carbonite, backing up files on your PC or Mac is safe and easy with Carbonite. For a free trial plus 2 free months with purchase, go to Carbonite.com, offer code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Darren Kitchen.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is Tech News
Today.
Serious Tech News for today.
There is a day that
Nothing
exists.
Funny about
that would
it.
Be today. And on that day, we'll talk about tech stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's also episode 108. We were discussing before the show how mystical a number that is.
Yeah, it's something about a diameter of the sun.
Yeah. Something about a baseball.
Third rock.
Yeah. Number of stitches on a baseball. Yeah. Emergency code in India. Something
Binary
to do with Lost.
Jokes.
Yeah.
Abound.
I love binary jokes.
You should watch the pre-show.
Have you heard that one? 0012.
0-0.
Yeah. No. Oh, man.
What's lol in binary? Anyway, it's too long.
Google is suing the U.S. government.
Why?
Or as Tom Krasit put it, man bites dog.
Who's who?
Yeah, well, go Google, man.
Google is the man. Government's the dog.
Biting the dog.
Yeah. Because usually government's going after Google.
Yeah.
No big deal. No news there.
So Google. So they're
isn't
sticking
the
it to the man.
More of the man.
Yeah, yeah.
Than Google, though.
It is the man. You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
But I get what he's after. With it's that's just
man
a.
On man
it's
biting.
Turning the world on its head. Man versus. Now we're going to go into literature class from 7th grade. Is it man versus nature?
It's man versus robot.
Well, dog is Google. Man's it's best Android. Friend. What
Android,
are we saying?
That's what it is.
We're
Android
saying
bites man.
That Google has sued the U.S. government over its handling of buying software, specifically a request for quotation. Google alleges that the Department of the Interior crafted its request for quotation specifically from a Microsoft pamphlet so that only software that is part of the Microsoft Business Productivity Online suite could possibly satisfy the requirements.
Well, they shouldn't be allowed to do that.
No.
What are you talking about? How could you get business done otherwise, you know?
Without Microsoft, you
mean? Yeah, it's not like there are alternatives. I mean, they've got Office. Is there something else you can use?
Yeah. How am I supposed to upgrade my Microsoft Office if I don't buy it from Microsoft?
Yeah.
That seems to be what Google is objecting to.
That's what the computer is, right?
Yeah.
No, but now, is Google... they say that Google was just, that they were never in the running. They were never considered as a viable alternative.
Right.
But what if the folks who work in the government who make these sorts of decisions just don't like Google apps?
They say that they met with the Department of the Interior to try to convince them. And the Department of the Interior said, Microsoft has two things that other solution providers do not. Unified consolidated email, which one thinks that Google has with Gmail,
mm-hmm.
and enhanced security. Which I guess is debatable, but it's certainly not obvious that Google doesn't have enhanced security. So Google says there are various problems with Microsoft solutions. They just want to be considered. The Government Accounting Office says it doesn't really matter since Google doesn't have a GSA schedule contract. This is now starting to sound like Brazil. You don't have a form stroke B9A.
Your TPS reports were late.
Therefore... Yeah,
you
exactly.
cannot be considered.
And because they don't have a GSA schedule contract, they are not officially an interested party and therefore can't object. So Google is probably busily trying to fill out a GSA schedule contract is my guess. But anyway, Google going after the U.S. government.
Interesting.
Google can't... Google, don't mess with Google. The United States, they'll go after you.
U.S. government's investigating Google about those streets.
You think it's a little tit for tat?
It does. Yeah. There's a little mudslinging.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. All right, fine. We'll go after your Department of the Interior.
Yeah,
knife right up your belly.
Guess
that's kind of cool.
No Gmail.
It's not like they're untouchable.
Fine.
You know,
yeah.
Just like any other corporation. You know, Apple can sue Motorola. Motorola can sue Apple. It's all good.
Seriously,
you know?
Apple suing Motorola now is there going to have to be détente? Is there going to have to be some Treaty of Versailles where like 15 mobile providers have to get in a room and hash it out? This is getting ridiculous.
Not until we get to Agent Orange level.
Yeah. We're not there yet.
No, not yet.
Everybody's buzzing about this Bleco search engine, and I'm not saying that like, Bleco. It's spelled B-L-E-K-K-O, which they told Rafe Needleman they picked because none of the other ideas they had were registrable.
Were they the same
people
that
made
Well,
it's no sillier than the word Google.
I guess not.
You know?
We're so used to it.
But Google, when it was a new company, was like, what is that? That's the stupidest name in the world. And now it's a household name.
So what Bleco does is kind of a hash between a normal search engine and, say, a Mahalo search engine, where they have people curating the sources that are indexed. So it's not quite Mahalo level where they're creating the page of results, but they're saying only index these sites. For instance, if I search on medical terms, it's saying go to WebMD, go to Mayo Clinic. It lists the sites. You can actually create your own lists, and then you can decide to limit your search results to lists with a slash tag.
Yeah, these are really neat slash tags. Like, what do they have built in?
Well, the one that everybody's having the most fun with is conservative and liberal. So if you search evolution
as a liberal
without a slash tag, you get a bunch of very scientific articles.
Yeah, or slash science is one.
You can search evolution with liberal, and it'll tell you like why everyone's evil who doesn't believe in evolution. If you search evolution with conservative, it gives you the Conservapedia article.
The problem I have with Bleco, because I checked it out for a little while this morning, and it was actually good timing because I was trying to find a very specific video clip from YouTube. I knew it was on YouTube somewhere because I wanted to make a joke to a friend. I needed a video clip. And on Google, you type in the little string, I say video, and there it is. It's like the second result. On Bleco, I typed in the same string. Well, they don't have a video option, or certainly not anything that was intuitive for me. And it was just kind of a mess, and it wasn't what I wanted. It's like, yeah, I think if you were to train yourself to use Bleco in the way it's intended to be used, that's fine. But it gives us too many choices. I mean, I think most people just want to search for something and find what they're looking for. They don't necessarily want biased results. We're not trained to search that way.
We're not trained that way. I think you're right that that's why this isn't going to take off, because we're not trained to search that way. But I like the idea that spam, link farm stuff is left out.
Yeah.
And that I could, if I came to trust Bleco, that they might curate good results for me.
But it's good to have options.
Don't you think at least some people, I mean, they say right out, like, hey, we're not, you know, shooting for number one, but if we could be number three, you know, that's pretty cool. And maybe some people do want that. I mean, everybody kind of chooses, like, am I a Fox News guy? Am I an NBC guy? Do I check out the Beeb? Like, whatever.
Yeah, I think that's realistic of them as well. It's like, we're not Google. We don't work like Google. We're not expecting to overtake Google.
Yeah, they said we want to be number three.
We're doing things differently.
Yeah.
We're number three.
We're number three.
Frankly, that's smart.
That's bronze.
I don't know if it'll work, but yeah, it gets you on the podium. That's all that matters.
No shame in that.
Hey.
Speaking of being on the podium, gold medal goes to Android for the most popular operating system in the United States, according to MPD Group numbers. Android has grown by some ridiculous percentage over last year because all the phones came out this year. They now make up 44% of U.S. smartphone sales. And RIM has fallen to third place, 22%. iOS has fallen a little bit, but they're still number two at 23%.
It's surprising that RIM has dropped so much, considering all the innovation that they've done. I can't say that with a straight face. I'm sorry. I tried. I really did.
Hey, but RIM. You know, the BlackBerry Curve 8500 is the number two selling phone.
It is a
like
solid
handset. Yeah. They've got, cuz iPhone 4 is the number one selling handset, but that's the only place you get iOS other than some iPhone 3GSs that sold this year. So the BlackBerry Curve 8500
isn't the Curve also like the free phone?
But I think it's kind of a distant second. And then, you know, all the other phones are Android phones. Of course not.
Actually,
all the other phones literally, but so many more phones. It doesn't surprise me that Android would be
LG
in first place.
Like 90 different devices.
The LG Cosmos is number 3.
Haven't played with that. And I was just at CTIA.
It's it's a hero like device.
Heroic?
It says in Gadget. It's
saves
one,
you?
It might
one of those $30 after
rebate. Yeah.
It's a feature phone.
Yeah.
$30 after rebate. Those kind of phones are more popular than you think. They just don't get a lot of attention. All right, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors, Ford, makers of voice activated sync. It is, in some ways, the only way to drive, because you can keep your eyes on the road, pay attention to actually like not endangering other people's lives, but still get stuff done. It's a Bluetooth phone. Walk in, sit down in your car, it connects, and you can stream your music, you can send text messages, you can have text messages read to you. It is the only way I would ever consider handling text messages while I'm driving, because otherwise you're risking your life and everybody else's on the road. But if it's read to you, short, pithy, it's probably safer than listening to the radio in some cases. So anyway, check it out at the website SyncMyRidePodcast.com, www.SyncMyRidePodcast.com. It's true hands-free calling. You get turn-by-turn directions. There's a lot to this. It's not just a little GPS system. It's got that, but it's got a whole lot more. If you're ever in an accident, your airbag deploys, automatically calls 911 for you. You keep your eyes on the road and make your calls, make your text messages in a much safer manner. And it can route you around traffic jams, personalized traffic alerts. Check it out, SyncMyRidePodcast.com. And we thank Ford very much for their support of Tech News Today. On to Facebook uncovering. Is this a Casablanca moment? We're shocked user data is being sold by our third-party partners.
What I want to know is why don't we know who sold data? Why doesn't Facebook want to give up these folks?
Well,
because they may be working with Facebook again in the future.
I guess.
Well, they've been slapped on the wrist and said that they can't, you know, develop on Facebook for 6 months.
But why don't
we
get to publicly flog them for selling our
data? I guess
data?
We'll notice when they disappear for 6 months, right?
I guess. Facebook was, they're like, listen, these aren't like top 10
app providers.
They just don't
want to put some names on
it.
Like,
you've never heard of
You don't
people.
Even know these people. They're out of here.
They discovered them
like to know.
When they were investigating that part of the web browser bug that let user IDs be shared inadvertently, and then they found evidence that these application makers were selling the IDs that they were collecting accidentally. Rapleaf was one of the data brokers which had been buying them. Rapleaf, mm-hmm. of course, is one of the first ways people knew that these UIDs were leaking out. And it said it had reached an agreement with Rapleaf to end their involvement with any application on Facebook now or in the future.
Yeah, and then Rapleaf said, oh, our bad. We're going to delete that and not do it again.
Yeah.
Promise.
We promise we'll delete that. Yeah. We deleted it right now. See? Yeah, anyway. So Facebook
they also
at
say
least didn't
no
try to cover this
no
up.
No private
right?
user data was sold.
Right, it was just the UIDs.
This is still public information. So yeah, it's not like Facebook has figured out that all of our private information was sold. But it's still something that shouldn't be
I think
happening.
You just have to assume if you're using an app on Facebook, all bets are off.
Right.
You know, you've just let someone into your domain.
Yeah, because if it happened once, yes. I mean, these folks, like you said, are going to get a slap on the wrist. They'll be back in, 6 months, if anyone cares anymore.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop anybody from figuring out another way to do it.
There might actually be legitimate reasons why you would need to actually, you know, save that data. Some of the developers have actually commented saying, hey, we use that to, you know, transfer stuff from here to there and whatnot. So,
yeah.
You know,
but
we'll
no legitimate reason to sell it.
Yeah, that's the big difference right there. So stop being evil.
Yeah, don't be evil.
Yeah, let Google do. Oh, wait, that's not
oh,
their
no,
name.
No, that's not
Blecko.
Blecko can be evil. Well, slash evil. You can get evil results or not.
That sounds way better than slash stoned.
Yeah. Wave creator Lars like Rasmussen has quit Google to go to Facebook, and he has given some reasons why, which are rather interesting.
Facebook's just a little startup.
He talked to the Sydney Morning Herald. He said, it feels to me that Facebook may be sort of a once-in-a-decade type of company. Obviously, they've already changed the world, and yet there seems to be so much more to be done. Well, okay, that's good as far as it goes. Then he says the size of Facebook compared to Google was another reason. Comparing Google's 25,000 employees to Facebook's 2,000, Rasmussen told the newspaper that Google was becoming unwieldy at that size and felt that Facebook's smaller size would make it easier to get things done.
Which I'm sure is very true, because 25K is a lot bigger than 2K. But for, you know, those of us who work at little companies of under 20 people, it's like, I don't know. Imagine how hard it would be to get something done if there were 25,000 of us.
I'm going to leave Twit to work alone in my backyard because it's just getting unwieldy with 10 people.
Yeah. Bureaucratic.
No, but I guess everything is relative, right? And 2,000 people sounds huge unless you're working at a company of 25,000.
Let's also remember he was working on Google Wave, which didn't end very well for the folks that probably put their heart and soul into it for a long time.
Such a wonderful piece of technology. I mean,
well, Google Wave didn't really catch on with the people and didn't really seem to catch on within Google.
If it's got a chance, though, wouldn't it be at Facebook? you know, where there's already the audience that's built in and expecting new features like that. I mean, Facebook definitely does innovate.
What,
you know,
like live wall postings, character by character, or you're
ooh.
Updating.
Actually, I could see that working a lot better.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to see that or not.
And then there would be 1 million strong against the new Facebook. Again.
But you can imagine that he may have had, you know, with not just working in a big company, but a big company that maybe didn't give him the support he felt he deserved or needed. And then his project was folded.
He had to justify a lot of stuff.
And Mark Zuckerberg apparently said to him personally, come on over, hang out for a while. We'll give you more money.
We'll pay you a sugar mountain of money.
Yeah. Sugar mountain does. Coming for you.
I think, Lars, you would love working at Twit. If you think 2,000 is small, come on over, work on our website.
Yeah.
You can do anything you want.
We'll incorporate Google Wave into TNT.
Absolutely.
How?
That's how people will type the next story and we'll just read it.
It'll be Jason. It'll be incorporated into Jason, his firmware update.
Yes. Cool, yes.
We'll include Google
I can
Wave.
Take on a few more tasks.
Jason, actually.
You can firmware update Jason? Okay, anyway.
He's flashing.
So I hear.
Whoa.
I haven't done it
myself. He is. Don't cut to camera three.
Twitter has begun publishing ads in user streams. You knew it would happen eventually. And starting today, into individual users' Twitter streams will be dropped ads based on the kinds of people you follow. So the example given in Ad Age is you follow a bunch of coffee makers, Starbucks ad might show up because you might be interested in coffee. And they're only showing the paid tweets to people who use Hootsuite, a third-party client, to start with.
A lot of people do, more than I thought. I don't know how many million folks, but it's a really large number of folks who use Hootsuite.
175 million.
I mean, I was pretty surprised with that. I was like, Hootsuite, how many users do they actually have? Well, quite a few.
Hey,
and it's funny because there was a backlash, at least in my Twitter stream this morning. I don't know if you guys saw the same thing, or a lot of people were like, well, that's the last time I use Hootsuite. But it's like, dude, I mean, if this goes over well, all the third-party apps will eventually have this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and possibly at Twitter.com as well. What I think is going to happen is, well, if Twitter's smart, is let's say you and I say, well, we do follow a lot of coffee makers and we still don't want to see these ads. This is not the way that we want to use Twitter. Then we buy premium Twitter accounts and don't have ads anymore.
See, I applaud this because, I mean, I don't want to see, like, Twitter, you know, run out of money, go away or anything like that, or have to do something sleazier in order to generate revenue. So I'm perfectly fine with this.
I wish Twitter would adopt the
Red Bull, Starbucks
advertising system where you could vote these ads up or down, because I like the fact that they're trying to tailor them to you, right?
Yeah.
So that I'm only going to get ads that I want to care about, because then it won't be as bad of a thing. Twitter's being very careful and very smart about this.
Yes.
But the coffee thing put me on edge because I'm like, okay, I just started following Weaver's Coffee. It's a local coffee maker here in California. Let's say I follow Pete's too, because I love Pete's coffee. And I follow a few other like boutique coffee makers, and then suddenly Starbucks shows up. That is jarring. They are not the right kind of coffee maker to show up. Yeah. So if I could say, like, don't ever show me Starbucks again. Mm-hmm. You can show me coffee maker ads if you get them, but don't show me that one. I'm not picking on Starbucks. I'm just using it as an example. Then that would make it perfect for me so that I could sort of adjust it to my tastes. And if I got an ad for Weaver's, then I'd be fine with that.
It also just depends on how things are displayed, because I use certain ad-supported free versions of site. Pandora is an example of something where I've never upgraded and it's never really bothered me. And some sites I don't feel that way about. I pay to not see ads.
Yeah.
Services, not necessarily sites.
No. I'm thinking about paying for the Pandora just because of the political ads.
Well, yeah.
Recently, yeah.
After tomorrow, less Meg Whitman in my Pandora stream, and not knocking her either. It's just, I'm listening for the music.
There's a time and a place. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, something better
a little
than
jarring.
This isn't actually the first time that we've seen ads in Twitter feeds either. I mean, other third-party apps have tried this and then been told by Twitter, you can't do that.
And well, now we know why.
And another example of Twitter learning from its third-party developers, for good or for ill, saying, you know what, we're only going to try this in Hootsuite. We want to see how it works in a place where people are familiar with seeing these ads before we move it onto the main. They're very careful with how they roll this stuff out.
I wonder why Hootsuite is the guinea pig in this sense. I mean, did they just
maybe
draw
they were
the
willing
shortest
to go
straw?
Along and pull the ad? They're like, yeah, we'll take some ad revenue to test this
and
out.
And just see how it goes. Yeah. And if it doesn't work, maybe they've got an agreement that if there's...
Maybe Twitter realized that the influencers in their audience use Hootsuite more often, possibly. Mm-hmm. Just a guess.
Influencers. That
and
name is already
to,
creepy.
You know how Twitter just keeps cannibalizing its third-party developers. They're like, oh, that's nice. Yeah, we're just going to do that on our site. And not you know, steal. Well, yeah, steal
it's like crowdsourcing, right?
They
we let you use our API. Hey, we get to take that idea.
So now if they can, hey, and we'll cut you in, you know?
Yeah, right.
But now we control, you know, how it's all distributed and all that fun stuff.
Two Hollywood studios, Disney and Warner Brothers, have won $400,000 of damages in a legal settlement with Triton Media. Triton Media was convicted of contributory copyright infringement and inducement to infringe for handling the ad sales on websites that had copyright infringing material. So this is a very interesting precedent. They went after the company selling the ads instead of going after the company that ran the website, and they won the case on infringement, contributory infringement, and inducement. So this begs the question, can they now or will they go after Google?
How could they?
Because of AdSense?
Well, AdSense is on practically every site.
Yeah. How do you figure the
definitely
ads?
But how would Google, what if Google was like, listen, you've got a point, we'll have to police this more closely. How could they possibly?
See,
that's a toughie.
I don't buy the
inducement.
Yeah,
a lot of people
thing.
Using AdSense.
They already screen keywords commonly used in pirate websites. There's only so much you can do if you're going to run your business in a way that says everybody can sign up for this plan at any time they want, and it's the entire world. Again, it's like Safe Harbor. It's like we can't have this business if we have to personally vet every single client.
But I think that that's their most... It seems like that's really the only way that they can go. Because you can't just... I don't know. I just don't understand how they could go after Google and have...
I just don't see how the ads could induce, you know, copyright violation. It's not like I'm following this one ad network and I have to go to all the different sites that they advertise on because I'm just so enthralled with these ads. And, oh, hey, look, pirate stuff.
It's because you are providing the funds that allow the company to continue infringing.
So it's kind of like a drug money kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like saying, well, by selling the ads on this site, you're approving of it. You're saying, yeah, this site's okay. I want to do business with them.
Yeah.
Because all the quotes in here were like, you know, why is it so hard to make the decision not to enter into business partnerships with sites whose business model is obviously infringing the works of U.S. creators? That's Patrick Ross of the Copyright Alliance. Why is it so hard? Because you're not meeting them and making a decision. You're just letting them sign up. Now, maybe that's not the case with Triton Media, but it definitely is the case with Google, which may mean they never go after Google because of the way that's done. Or maybe they never go after Google because Google's got deep pockets and they don't want to fight this out with somebody who can actually defend themselves better than a Triton Media.
Hmm. Yeah, when you put Google up against MPAA, you're like,
Oh, that's
looking pretty
that's
strong.
A good death
it's like
match.
A who'd win in a fight.
Right. Yeah.
Captain Kirk? Jean-Luc Picard,
but I don't
Google
see,
or the MPAA.
But I don't see Google selling, you know, hot ads out of the back of its trunk.
Right. But they're doing exactly the same thing as these people were busted for. Hmm. Maybe not exactly. Maybe that's, you know, there's always a little bit of thin thing that you can get by with, and maybe that's it. All right, this episode is brought to you by Carbonite, the leader in online backup. Unexpected computer disasters happen all the time. Hopefully it's not happening to you right now, but if you have Carbonite and a local backup, you can rest assured that you are okay. That's what I do. I have a local backup, but a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to go in the cloud. You want to be in both places, and Carbonite is what I use to back up into the cloud. You can't risk losing important files. If your local hard drive got stolen, got burned in a fire along with your computer, you've still got a backup in the cloud from Carbonite.com. Helps protect all the valuable files on your computer. It's secure end-to-end encryption, and it works on a PC or Mac. Automatic backup. You don't have to do anything to configure it. You can go in and play with some settings if you want, but really you don't have to think about it. It just does it. It even has a setting that allows it to be sensitive to internet connection. I use that one a lot. I go in here and I'm like, lower priority. Only back up when I'm not using them. When I'm playing Warcraft, don't go in and start backing up. And so you can customize it the way you want and get access to your files as a perk on the road over the web. Because they're backed up to the cloud, you can log in and access them. So try it for free. Go to Carbonite.com, enter the offer code TNT, provides unlimited backup for your PC or Mac for $55 a year. The way to think about that is 15 cents a day. Can you afford 15 cents a day? Well, you don't even have to. You can try it for free. Be sure to sign up for the free trial from the homepage to get 2 months free if you decide to keep it. You don't have to even use a credit card. Sign up right now. Carbonite.com. Offer code TNT. Time for the news fuse. Uh. Hartford, Connecticut, the homeland of Veronica Belmont, got 4G WiMAX today, as did Trenton, New Jersey, New Haven, New Brunswick, Tampa, and the little old town of New York City. Overall, 61 cities now have the stuff, making that Sprint overdrive get a rope look a little more tempting for travelers. San Francisco and L.A. are scheduled, among other cities, to get WiMAX by the end of the year.
Woo! The World Wide Web Consortium has released the results of his first HTML5 conformance test. And according to this initial rundown, the browser that most closely adheres to the latest set of web standards is...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Come on. Give a guess. Wild guess. No,
Opera.
Can't guess. All right, I'll tell you.
Safari.
No. Internet Explorer 9. That's right, bitches.
Whoa.
Who's got more standards compliance now? Netscape. Not even
Netscape.
A browser.
Looking at a weeping Chrome.
It's an old beef, ladies and gentlemen. It goes way back.
I feel better.
Good.
You know what would make you feel better?
What?
Aaron Barthol. He's building this USB drop site project in New York City.
New York City. Oh,
yeah.
Wait, we did that joke already.
He's injecting USB flash drives into like walls and buildings and curbs, and anyone can just go to these places.
There's
so far five in New York City, and you can just plug in and drop files and pick up stuff. And, you can plug your laptop into a wall or a house or a pole and share data and be promiscuous. And please, people, turn off auto run if
you're
going to do this.
It looks kind of awkward. Kind of weird. Yeah. USB sticks sticking out of the brick.
Can't we just do some wireless networks here and there, a little darknet style? USB drives, nice.
Be careful with that. You may recall that open source awesome video player VLC has been ported to the iOS platform by a company called Applitium. And like every Apple app, it contains FairPlay DRM, which means Videoland, the makers of VLC, think it might violate the GPL license for open source software. So you might want to download it right now, just in case.
iPhones in Europe automatically adjusted to daylight savings time yesterday. Yeah, they've actually done that. We haven't here in the U.S. yet. But the alarm clocks didn't keep up.
What?
Why? Well, a bug in the system meant that alarms set the night before went off an hour late. Australians actually experienced a similar problem last month, and Apple didn't fix the problem or warn users then. The iOS 4 bug can apparently be avoided by using one-off alarms rather than preset regular wake-up calls, you know, to be organized and stuff. Don't do that. Just the one-off alarm.
Yeah, Apple is just trying to give you an extra hour's sleep.
Yeah.
That's
you
nice
don't want to get up at that time.
You missed your meeting.
So check it out. If you're in Turkey, enjoy the YouTube because it is back. You remember 2 years ago you lost it because somebody put up a video that was deemed insulting to the country's founder, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, and Turkey's transport minister, who is in charge of the internet issues. He said, hey, it's no longer any reason to ban the website because the offending video was removed. It just, you know, took a while to get this all through, you know.
Push this through.
Yeah, they pushed the law through, and next thing you know, Google said, hey, they were not removed by a third party.
No, they were.
They were removed by a third party, not YouTube.
Oh, that Google said we didn't do it.
Yeah, it wasn't us. What are you talking about?
Computer World has a post about an iPhone serial port hack, which enables network engineers to use their iPhones in server rooms. You jailbreak the iPhone, Citi has got a bunch of consoles.
Woo-hoo.
And according to Chris Pollack at IO Networks, the real benefit in all of this is that there are so many console packages for iPhone now that you can have a fully functional computer as useful as a Linux box without carrying around a laptop.
See, the iPhone's useful. You just need a 19U server rack.
Yeah, you just need to jailbreak it, have a server rack, and then get this little dongle for the serial port. Done.
You could put it on a trolley and carry it behind you.
Facebook has made a small, teeny tiny little acquisition, buying up Dropio, or Drop.io, depending on who you ask, a service that lets users upload files online and then share them. Dropio says Facebook has bought most of its technology and assets, and that founder Sam Lessin will now join Facebook. The Dropio service itself will shut down, which is a bummer to me because use it really regularly. Although, if Facebook can resurrect it in a way that makes me use it in a similar way, I'll be okay with
it. It sounds like one of those, like, you're acquiring the talent, what happened with Lala.
I just don't see how you would be. I mean, Facebook can't. They're not going to have a file sharing service inside of Facebook, are they?
I don't know. Maybe
file sharing from person to person
that you can do
between friends.
That, yeah. There's an app for that.
F to F.
I was trying not to say that. It's hard not to.
All right. Rolling out mobile phone infrastructure is expensive, but a study being conducted at Queen's University in Belfast would involve wearable sensors carried by members of the public. You wouldn't actually wear them. They're called wearable sensors because that's what they are, but they would build them into the phones. So that would just be in your phone and would create essentially a mesh network And the cool thing about it is they think they can get this working, calling it a body-to-body network.
Ooh. Yeah.
So that the more people using data, the better the network gets. Instead of what we have now, which is a bunch of people use data, you have to throw a bunch of more towers at it or nobody can use the
data. Yeah, because you go from a hub and a spoke to a big old spiderweb kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
And all your packets go through everyone.
That's pretty
cool. That would be fun.
It seems intuitive, too, when you think of it that way.
Right, and you have so many people saying, oh, I don't want that ugly tower put up in this area, and that it takes forever to get easements and approvals to put up towers to improve coverage. This could make that a whole lot less necessary.
I think there's still some bugs to be worked out there. I mean, I can imagine latency might be a bit of an issue. I mean, it's one thing when it's like wireless networking for data, but it's completely different when it's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm perfectly happy with the tower.
I like it, though. I hope they work out the bugs and get it, because it's so elegant.
I like those towers that they, like, put trees around, you know, paint them green and make them look like a tree.
And then after, like, a year or two, they fade away. They look nothing like a tree anymore.
No, yeah. It's just, you know, I appreciate the effort. All right, shall we move on to the calendar, gentlemen?
Yep.
Facebook mobile event set for November 3rd, so that's Wednesday, and no one knows exactly what's going to be unveiled, but I'm hoping it's an iPad app.
Yeah, so they say
mobile event.
They say mobile, and they show people with, like, paper cups to their head.
That would be great. I mean, that's...
It's not a Facebook phone. Let's just put that to rest right now.
Or maybe the Facebook phone is a paper cup to your head.
Possibly.
Oh.
Maybe it's just two Facebook paper cups from the kitchen. But no, I think revamped
guess.
Apps.
It's a good guess just because they're so sorely lacking one.
They haven't revamped the Facebook iPhone app in forever.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of the other apps suffer from various bugs and problems. So.
Well, an iPad app, rather, friendly for Facebook is like... has been like the number three best-selling paid-for iPad app for a long time now, months and months. So it's not as if there isn't demand. And as Darren was telling me earlier before the show, Friendly doesn't even work that well. But there's obviously a demand for an iPad app.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I definitely need a first-party one.
Xbox Live dashboard update happening today. So Canadians get Netflix. And USAians... Usandians get ESPN3.
Ah, so take that, Canada.
Yeah.
You're all hot with your Netflix and your update on your dashboard. We got ESPN3.
But they got the Hockey Network.
They probably, it's TSN there anyway. Yeah.
Verizon nabs Samsung Continuum. Tom, you've been very excited about that.
Yeah, Continuum looks cool. It's got that little screen at the bottom.
Zeal and Motorola Citrus on November 11th, so three. And according to...
three different phones leaked.
So it's what we would call a gushing leak of information. And a reminder that NaNoWriMo starts today.
Yes, National Novel Writing Month, which I have attempted every year since 2004. And I've actually done it once. I actually wrote a novel in a month in 2006.
It's
so I'm trying again.
It's also Nablopomo.
No, you're just making
it up. No. Not National Blog Post Month.
I think there's a
The year I completed my novel, I posted it as a blog posting every day, my progress.
Well, so you did
so
both.
So I kind of did both.
You kind of did
before
both.
Before there was both.
So you're going to pick it up and finish your 09? Or did you wrap it up?
I wrapped it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Also
it's
something that I can't really participate in, but you folks can, all three of you, is Movember. Don't shave your mustache.
Make that two of us
could. You could participate, but no one would notice
if I wanted to.
No.
Although I will lend some credibility to your Nablopomo thing.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
You're really quick with the HTML, I gotta say.
Never question me again.
I'm a Googler.
Yeah. What?
It would be a miracle if I could write a blog post.
It'd
every
take
day.
A miracle.
So I don't know why I'm making such a big deal out of it. I've never participated.
One blog post a year is enough.
You know, the thing with NaNoWriMo, you only have to write 1,400 words a day, which sounds a lot, but if you just sit down and just write and don't think about it, that's the point of the whole month, is to just get your writing. You can do it. It doesn't actually take that long.
And there are probably a lot of bad novels out there.
I always get,
just don't think
about
it.
You have to edit it later, for sure. But I always get disrupted because I end up traveling. So I'm hoping this year is the first year since 2006 I haven't been traveling in November.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll actually do it. I got an idea.
I'd like to see a novel, Merritt.
All right. Be my third
this
one.
This merits a novel.
Yes, it does.
It's a novel idea.
And this merits a transition to email. TNT at twit.tv is our email address. Devin in Portland, Oregon wrote to that address and said, "Hi, TNT crew. I've been listening to a number of netcasts talk about the fact that everyone is doing a marketplace, and a lot of time they relate it to the Steam platform to buy games. While having a trusted place to buy software is cool and all, I'm more interested in a little something called auto updates. There's nothing that irritates me more than a pop-up every few weeks asking to fix yet another security hole slash bug. I could avoid the annoyance by preventing all those update checkers from launching, but that's just asking for trouble. If we had a marketplace that kept your software up to date, that would make life easier for everyone. What do you think?"
Dude, just app get upgrade. Duh.
Yeah, exactly. App get upgrade on your Windows machine.
Oh, Windows machine. Oh, well, I don't know. Let's see. Software package managements for Windows. He could probably try Cygwin or AppSnap, App Updater.
Well, but still, on my OS X, I'm going to have to wait for that kind of functionality until the Mac store comes.
You got Fink. You got Mac ports. You got Homebrew.
Really?
Yeah.
You can app get everywhere then.
Well, it's essentially the same thing. Yeah.
It's a repository. And you know what? Yeah, a lot of people aren't going to want to get into repositories. And so a Mac OS store will make it nice. There's already an update tracker, though, from download.com.
Ooh,
that's a more friendly, user-friendly version of the same sort of thing. Just lets you update stuff.
I'm going to be checking out App Updater here. It's GPL. It's in Python. It's all pretty for
Windows. Is that the Windows one?
Yeah.
I might check that out, too. Yeah, anyway, so you have options, but I understand what you're saying. It's nice to not have to deal with the nagging. Every time I launch my Windows machine, because I don't use it every day.
Yeah, iTunes is like,
it's like 15 minutes of like, all right, I got to.
Remind me later.
Oh, I got 17 patches. Yeah, all right.
I love how can I annoy you now for 10 minutes, or would you like me to remind you later?
Yeah. Would you like me to annoy you again later? It's your choice.
All right, the next email comes from the Bolivian Aviator, and this is in reference to TNT episode 106 when we were talking about 3G on Mount Everest. The Aviator says, "3G on Mount Everest at 5,300 meters is good, but I thought you may be interested to know in Bolivia at El Cumbre, a.k.a. the summit, which is a few meters higher than the Mount Everest base camp, we have WiMAX. Oh, yes, 4G service at approximately 18,000 feet. Biatches. But I must add, I actually added the biatches. The Aviator would not speak that
second
way.
Time today.
But I must add, this is not just base camp in Bolivia. People actually live at this elevation. And there's been WiMAX in Bolivia for a few years. And it works great. So, suck it. I also added that part.
You know, Sherpa is now going to grab one of those 3G towers and like take it up to the summit and be like, fine. Done.
See, that's incentive right there, to climb the extra couple meters to get to the 4G.
Why did you climb Mount Everest? Because it didn't have a 3G tower yet. Now I got to get a WiMAX one so I can catch up with Bolivia. Anyway, thanks for that email, Bolivian Aviator.
Sounds like a cocktail.
I do too. Thank you. Keep them coming. And while I drink my Bolivian Aviators, it's time to say goodbye. Thanks, Darren. It's great having you on Mondays.
Yeah, we're talking IP6 on hack5.org.
And you can check us out again tomorrow. We actually have special guests tomorrow because Becky's out. Dan Patterson and Jason Heiner will be joining us. We'll see you then. TNT at twit.tv, 260 TNT show. And twit.tv/TNT is the website. See you tomorrow.